What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is your host, Clayton.
And you're listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Still got it, nice. Baby.
Nice. I haven't recorded in 14 months, but we can still remember what we're supposed to say.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Sorry, y'all. We've been trying to release some episodes because we kind of went ham the last time we recorded.
We did.
But we are back in action, and there's been so much going on.
It's nuts.
Not that we've been busy with like school, because we're never busy with school.
No more.
But
that was for the first semester of D2 year.
But. Yeah. First semester of D2 year, absolute chaos energy. This semester, big chilling. The whole time. So what's been up, Clayton? What have we been doing? What the world's been doing?
Oh, I don't even know. A lot's been going on with the royal family. I don't keep up with them a lot, but I mean, I think everybody knows that Prince Philip passed away, and the one good thing that came out of it, I mean, it's not good that he passed away, but the brothers were reunited again.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's been since they've seen each other, but
yeah,
I thought that was a good thing.
I don't really keep up with the royal family all that much either, but it was nice to see them. Like, I have an older brother, and you know, I don't talk to him as much as I should, but right. I think it was a good reminder for people to call their families, because you never know when it's going to be your last. Now, granted, Prince Philip was 99 years old. Like,
yes.
Yeah. It was...
He was... If yeah. I make it to 99, I'll be okay.
Yeah. So, the only reason why you shouldn't call your family is if your family is Jake Paul. Because that guy
is the worst.
Garbage.
He's the absolute worst.
I will say, he's a decent fighter, though. He had a first round knockout yesterday. Yeah. So that was good, but yeah, I mean, just as a human,
he's just not a good human being.
So, and this is also your friendly PSA, public safety announcement, service announcement,
yeah, whatever it stands for.
Get your vaccine.
Just go out and do it. We all want life to return to normal, and they've stopped putting the microchips in people. They ran out of microchips,
yeah.
So they've stopped doing that for now. So it's a good time to go and get it.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's not an infringement on your rights. It's not going to make you sick. You're not going to die from it. Like, there's so much fake news out there right now and it's just bad. So many conspiracy theories. But the vaccine is safe. It's proven. It's effective. We'll have a whole episode on it later,
yep.
I'm sure. But for right now, all you need to know is that you need to get your vaccine.
And if you got Johnson & Johnson, don't freak out. Like, the side effects from Johnson & Johnson, it was like 6 in 6 million or so. It was very low percent chance of, like, getting sick from that. So, it's fine.
So, anyways, what are we talking about in today's episode here?
Today, we are talking about being married in dental school versus your specialty of dating in dental school.
Yeah, so, you know, as we do with most things here, you get both sides of the coin because Clayton and I have, I want to say, very different perspectives. We come from different walks of life.
Yes.
Because I would say we view things pretty much the same.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, Clayton has been married for a minute now.
A minute, yeah.
And I'm still in the dating world. So today we're just going to talk about what both of those experiences entail and what you can expect while you're in school and all that good stuff. I mean,
yeah,
we can just go and get started.
Exactly. Let's do it.
So, Clayton, when did you meet Emily?
So, I met Emily in 2018 at the Heart Hospital because I just started a new job. I think it's 2018. We're going to say it was 2018. And
just going to go back and listen to this episode
yeah,
and be like, this guy.
Like this, he doesn't know. So, we met in 2018, started a new job at a Heart Hospital, and we met during orientation. And Emily was the love of my life from the get-go. I was not the love of her life from the get-go, but I finally wore her down. And then we ended up doing long distance for the first year of dental school. And that sucked. Like, just having to make time to see each other and everything like that. Like, that wasn't fun. And then we got engaged. When did we get engaged?
Spring break, D1 year. Because that's when
yes.
I was on that extra
oh,
show.
Oh, yeah, Mardi Gras. Yeah. So, Mardi Gras break. We got engaged. Still did long distance. Yeah, we still did long distance.
Until May.
Yeah, until May. I'm glad you know this time.
Yeah, I know the timeline of your relationship better than you do.
Till May, and then we got married this past January. So that's, it's been good. We kind of did like the whole, we did dating, we did engaged life, and we're doing married life now in dental school. So
how was long distance while also juggling your first year of dental school?
Like the first semester of D1 year was fine because, yeah, you know, we had plenty of breaks. We really weren't in that many classes. I was able to go home and see her. She was able to come here and see me. But then second semester D1 year, that was not fun because second semester, it's like they eased us into it and made us think that, oh, wow, dental school is going to be really easy. And then all of a sudden we were taking all of these hard courses and I really didn't have time to go home. And when she came here, I was sidetracked, like trying to catch up on school and everything like that. Not that I studied that much.
I was about to say, I know you're struggling not to use the study word because you didn't study.
I did not do the S word, but like if it was the night before the test, well, I had to do the S word.
Yeah.
And then, so it was just different. But it was good because it was pre-COVID, so she got to meet everybody. And I think that was a huge thing too, because that made her feel more comfortable. When I said, oh, I'm going to hang out with Marco and Dylan, like, She knew who those rejects were. But like it was just nice for her to get to meet everybody too, and that made her more comfortable and it made her feel like more a part of it as well.
For sure. And I think like putting names to faces a lot of times, because it's like,
yes,
like for example, like I was telling Lauren, I was like, yeah, like I'm going to the gym with Paul. And she's like, who's Paul? Or like I mentioned,
yeah,
Paul something, and she's like, oh, who is that? I'm like, oh, it's the guy I go to the gym with. But being able to make associations like that just helps build a sense of community. Yes. And it's not so foreign. Because I think when you're constantly introducing foreign concepts,
right,
it can increase the sense of difficulty in a long-distance situation like,
right,
that.
And Emily always felt weird when we were having like dental school parties and dental school get-together. She was like, no, I don't want to go and like crash your party and like keep you from having fun. I was like, no, like, you're going to be on this journey as well. Like, this is 4 years. You need to know what's going on. So if you have a spouse or if you have a significant other out there, feel free to bring them along. Like, that's not weird at all. Like, it's better for them to be a part of it because they are a part of it, because you are not going to be able to survive dental school if you do not have that support system by your side.
Yeah, no, we make that reference a lot that, you know, if, like, Dylan and Megan, for example. Dylan is one of our classmates and Megan is his wonderful wife.
Yes, fantastic.
And we always say that like Megan's in dental school too. Like,
yes,
she may not be in the program, but if you are in a serious relationship or you are married to someone who's in dental school, you are along for the ride just as much as they are, because you are going to end up knowing everyone in their class.
Yep.
You are going to know about all the different classes that they're taking, all of the instructors. Like, you're basically going to get your DDS as well by the,
exactly,
end of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely important to include them. So Marco, we'll go back to dating or married life here in a second. But
yeah, we'll kind of bounce back and forth.
Yeah, there. Let's talk about dating. So some people come to dental school and they're like, look, I'm going to specialize in ortho, or I'm going to specialize in oral surgery, or I'm going to specialize in perio. But Marco came to dental school and said, I'm going to specialize in Hinge, Tinder, Bumble. So
the Holy Trinity.
So I know nothing about dating apps. Emily and I didn't meet from an app or anything. I know a lot of people do now, but I never used a dating app in my entire life.
Really? You've never used one?
Never used a dating app in my entire life. So I don't even know the differences between them. I don't know which one's the best.
Yeah. So let me,
please
step into my office here. I'll tell you all about it. So let me back up first. So I actually had like, I'd say probably like two or three like serious relationships in undergrad. Especially like towards like the beginning of my undergrad career, like especially sophomore year, like I dated someone for a while, and then some things happened and it didn't work out. And then like junior year, I had another girlfriend, but again, like it didn't work out. But then it got to a point where, and I say this because you guys probably need to ask yourself this question if you're an undergraduate student listening, is like, what are you going to do after undergrad? Like, are you taking a gap year? Are you applying across the country? where are you going? Because Arkansas doesn't have a dental school. So for me, it was like, I know that I'm moving out of state. So by the latter half of my junior year and then throughout my senior year, I knew that starting a relationship probably wasn't going to be the best thing for me, because that's not, in my opinion, and you know, everyone's different, but like, in my opinion, it's not enough time to get to know someone to where we would start long distance.
Yeah.
Or they would move to that state with me. Because I mean, I applied all over. I applied all the way from Pennsylvania to New Orleans to Dallas to Chicago. Like I really applied around, and I figured I was going to stay in the South. I hoped I was going to stay in the South, but I wasn't sure. So for me, like, that changed my dynamic of dating in undergrad. And then when I got to dental school, I knew Clayton and I knew Connor. But besides that, I literally didn't know anyone our age down here. I mean, like, I knew like Tucker and like some right. of the older guys, yeah. but, you know, wasn't super close to them. So I downloaded Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge. And they're all fine apps. They're all a little bit different. But for me, part of that was meeting new people down here. And I actually made some cool friends and got some really good recommendations, because I would go on those apps and I would match with people. You know, it's the like swipe right, swipe left. They have a profile. So like, you have like a profile on there and you upload pictures of yourself. And then the apps are a little bit different. So like on Bumble and Tinder, you can just, I would show you, but I deleted them off my phone.
Why'd you delete them?
I am in a relationship
oh,
now.
Oh, snap.
That is weird to say, but it's cool. Whatever. But yeah, don't tell her I said whatever. But anyways, you can like insert like comments about yourself. You can put like how tall you are, like if you're religious, you know, like what your star sign is, whatever, all that crap. And then like some little things versus on Hinge. Hinge actually gives you prompts to fill out, which are really good conversation starters. Like what's your biggest fear, or like tell about your biggest date fail, or things like that. So Hinge, I would say, is probably like the best if you're looking for a more serious relationship, just because you have to do a lot more work in order to create a profile, and you can't just like swipe right, swipe left. Like you have to like type stuff out and answer people back. So a lot more effort goes into it. So people who are using that app tend to be more geared towards a relationship. But when I first moved down here, I actually just used those apps, and I would tell people, hey, like, I'm just on here to make friends. Like, do you have any good like city recommendations? Like, do you have any good places to eat? Things like that. Or like, do you want to like show me around? And like, I made some really cool friends that way. And then, yeah, I mean, like, you can obviously go on dates and stuff with people on there. You got to be careful though, for several reasons. First off, like, you know, vetting the person. Like, I think it's really good to like FaceTime them
yeah.
before you meet up with them in person, or at least like Snapchat them to like make sure you're not getting catfished or anything like that. You know, because sometimes people don't exactly look like how their profile is, or like they may not act the way that their profile seems. So you got to be careful with them. But yeah, use those for a bit and then kind of die down on them. And then once the pandemic started, I think that was a huge boost for those apps, because yeah. I mean, how else are you going to meet people? You can't really go exactly. to the bars. I mean, even now going to the bars, like, I feel like people are still pretty clicky.
Yeah.
And they don't want to like separate from their groups all that much. So it's pretty hard to just go up and meet someone. I guess you would call it like the old fashioned way.
Yeah. Definitely.
So those apps are, I mean, that's how my girlfriend and I met. We met on Hinge and, you know, went out and got dinner, and that's where we're at now. But yeah, those, I mean, there's nothing wrong with using those apps. I feel like there was a stigma for a little while about using online dating apps, but
especially when they first came out too.
Yeah.
Because we were like, eHarmony was like the first like online yeah. dating thing. And then there weren't any dating apps. And then I don't even, what was the first dating app that?
Probably Tinder. Yeah. Tinder was probably the first one. Yeah.
So when those first came out, it was just like.
And I know Bumble has settings. Like there's like Bumble Friends and like Bumble Biz, to where like it's exclusively like just for friendships or just for like business
cool.
Connections, which is really neat. But yeah, I mean, I would say people use Tinder more for like just trying to hook up and stuff, which like if that's your prerogative, like go for it. But
yeah, whatever you want.
Yikes. There's also like a lot of like bots and spam on there that are just like trying to steal your credit card information or like get you to Venmo them. So you got to be safe. Like don't let your emotions get in the way of like logic and common sense.
So, Marco, dating in dental school, do you have any advice, just general advice for people who are worried that they may not have time to date in dental school, or they're worried that they may not find someone to spend the rest of their lives with in dental school, or
yeah, something? So I would say that dental school is this weird period where, like, you're basically giving up your 20s because this program is so intense, and you're going to see your friends, like, you know, especially in the South, like, we've been seeing people get engaged, like, my age, and, like, having kids and all that. Like, it happens a lot.
It does.
And you're stuck in this program, but you have to remember that it's essentially, and I know you can hear my dog in the background.
Stelly Bill.
But it's an investment into your future, and, like, it's going to pay off tenfold versus some of these other careers that people may have. So, yeah, it is busy, and, like, you don't want to be dating so much that you lose sense of school. And also, like, part of it does come down to finances, where, you know, if you're going out to dinner every week and, like, constantly taking people out to dinner, like, it gets really expensive really quick, and you need a budget for all of that. So if you are dating, look for cheaper alternatives, because it's also just not as formal, and it can be a lot better. So, like, go get some snow cones and go walk around town, or, like, go out for ice cream, or, like, just go to the park, things like that. I think you can actually, like, get to know people better than, like, a formal sit-down dinner, or maybe just, like, get drinks the first time you meet, something like that. But, yeah, I mean, you definitely have time. Like, it's like anything else in life. Like, you know, Clayton and I, we make time for this podcast. Like, I make time for dating. Like, Clayton makes time for his marriage. Like, we both have extracurricular activities. Like, I go to the gym, and Clayton actually works pretty much full-time now.
Yeah.
Like, your first year of dental school is really intense, and, like, D2, the first part of it is really intense, which that can depend on what school you go to, but at least for us, it was that way. But then after that, like, especially third and fourth year, I would say most people across the board get jobs. Like, I know a girl at Buffalo, she is a D3, and she has two jobs.
Oh, geez.
So, I mean, she stays extremely busy, but her school schedule also allows for that.
Right.
So, it's just like anything else in life. Like, you need a budget and allocate your time and resources and money and things like that, but it's definitely doable. Like, it's, and it's fun. Like, you should be meeting new people.
Absolutely.
Another good way to meet people is just, like, ask some of your classmates, like, some of your classmates that you're really close with, be like, hey, like, do you have any single friends? I know Sam in our class, that's how he met his girl.
Right.
Is he just asked, he's like, hey, like, you have any single friends? And I think it was Celine that hooked him up.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've been together like a year now. Like, they're great for each other. I finally met her the other night. She's super nice. Super nice lady. But yeah, like, that's another way to do it. Just, like, ask your classmates, like, hey, you got any single friends? And, you know, trust me, you're going to get to know your classmates well enough to where it'd be like, oh, like, I have the perfect match for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I know who you need to be with.
Exactly. Well, so,
and like Marco was saying, like, this is a perfect time to meet people, because you're surrounded by so many people your age, so many people with, you know, very similar interests as you, you know, very motivated, very, you know, they're wanting to make something of themselves. So this is a fantastic time to meet new people, make those friendships. And you may not date those people, but like Marco said, you're going to make those friendships, and those friendships could last forever. So, I mean, it's important to find new friendships when you come to a new place, because it would be so hard to do dental school without friends. I mean, that would just...
That would be impossible.
Be dreadful. I mean...
Be awful.
So bad.
And I will say, with that aspect, like, it sounds corny, but, like, be sure to guard your heart to an extent, because that can also be a huge detriment on your dental school career, is if you are dating and you're the type of person that gets really bad, like, not heartburn, but, like, your heart broken.
Yeah.
Like, that can affect you. Like, you may it not can. Be able to study. So yeah. If you are that type of person that deals with that pretty harshly, then yeah, maybe hold off on dating for like your first year or two, because, you know, you're not gonna be able to focus and study for your tests, things like that. Now, like, don't get me wrong, like, heartbreak can happen to anyone, but like, you know, if you're the type of person that goes on like two or three dates and then the person ghosts you, or like it doesn't work out and you're gonna be like in bed crying, like, you know, probably not good to put yourself in that situation in the first place. But like Clayton was saying, like, good people attract good people. And I mean that from like a good values perspective. So like, your classmates, I can guarantee, are good people, and their friends are probably going to be pretty good as well. Like, you know, I think one of the best things in life is like you are the product of the five people that you spend the most time with. So you better surround yourself with pretty good people. So to bounce back to Clayton here. So what I want to know is the like, I don't want numbers, but like, I mean, you had to get an engagement ring. Like you got, you did the whole process. Whole
shebang.
In dental school. Like some people go into dental school married, but you went in with a girlfriend and now you're here as a wife. Yeah. Like having a wife.
Yeah. I am a wife.
Yeah. We're actually sitting here with Mr. Herzog.
Yes, I am Mr. Herzog. Yeah. So Emily and I are both very financially minded. Like we've all, both of us are very good at saving money and saving up for things. And so before I came to dental school, I had saved up quite a bit of money just from working and everything, because I knew when I got here, I probably wasn't going to be able to work as much as I was used to. I wasn't going to have as much money as I was used to. So I did take out loans to cover school and everything, of course, because school's insanely expensive. But with engagement rings are expensive. So if you know that you're going to be getting married in the next year or two, you need to start saving for that. You need to start having a plan for how am I going to pay for this? You know, do I have enough money to pay for this? If I don't have enough money to pay for this, should I wait? Should I get more loans? Like, what should I do? And right now it's fine because, you know, our interest rates are
zero.
So
yeah, let's see what happens in September.
Yeah. So we'll see, because they can always go back up. But you need to plan for that, and you need to plan for, like Marco was saying, dates and stuff, because, you know, even if you're engaged or you're married, you're like, you still want to go on dates. Like you still want to be dating that person, even though you're married. So you need to be able to allocate money for that and spend wisely. One of the weird things was, and one of mine and Emily's, not arguments, but disagreements, it's when she moved here. Because, you know, I was used to spending my money, however I wanted to. So, you know, if I wanted to go to Cane's for lunch, I would go to Cane's for lunch. Like, I'm not going to, like, ask if I can go to Cane's for lunch. But then you get married and you combine your bank accounts and then you go to Cane's for lunch and she's looking at the credit card. She said, "So you went to Cane's 3 times this week." I said, "I had a rough week. I needed some Cane's." And the thing also, what makes it hard about being married in dental school, she's making the majority of the money. So,
like I said, we're sitting here with Mr. Herzog.
So she's making the money. I'm spending the money. So you can see where it, you know, you can have disagreements. But that's something you need to talk about before you get married too. Because you need, y'all need to be on the same page of spending money. And since I've been working now, like that's been easier. So if I want to get lunch at Cane's, I go get lunch at Cane's, because then I'm like, hey, I work, I made this money, I'm going to get lunch at Cane's. But if you have a spouse while in dental school and they are working and you are not, you need to realize that. Like Dylan and Megan. Megan works, she brings in the money.
And Dylan spends it.
So, but you just need to be on the same page when dealing with money, because that's a very sensitive, tough subject for a lot of people. But it's just very important that y'all have that discussion. And like, do you need to get permission to eat lunch at Cane's, or should you be trying to eat lunch at home more?
Ma'am, may I eat food today?
And Emily laughs like when I'm like, hey, can I go get Cane's? She's like, look, you don't have to ask me. And I'm like,
But like, is she gonna like?
She's like, if you
nag
see
about it later,
right, exactly. And it's like she's not gonna get mad, but she's just gonna make these comments like, "Oh, you know, like, oh, we could go to the movies. Oh, but you already had Cane's this week." And it's like, okay, fair enough. But just be sure you talk about that and laugh about it too, because marriage is tough, dating is tough, being engaged is tough, and you just have to have a sense of humor about a lot of things. One of the hardest things too, since Emily and I are both from Arkansas, going, and her mom and dad are divorced. So when we go back to Arkansas, we basically have 3 families, you know, we need to go see. So we need to see her dad's family, my family, and her mom. So it's tough making that work too. So we have to set it up a lot to where we see like her dad and my parents 1 weekend, and then the next time we'll see her mom and my parents, you know, so we just have to divide it up. and make it fair, because that was a hard thing for me too, because obviously it's harder if you have divorced parents. So I wasn't accustomed to that. So that was another disagreement we had. It's like, well, I want to go see my family. And she's like, well, it's not my fault. My parents are divorced. And I'm like, well, I can't.
Kind of hard to argue with that one.
So again, talking about things, it's so important. And Marco knows that, and dating life too. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I will say, like, whatever stage of a relationship you're in, you have to have communication.
You do.
And here's the deal, is that it's not always going to be fun. Like, you're going to have disagreements. Like, you're going to not get along all the time. Like, oh, 100%. You're going to bicker about things and whatnot. However, even though those conversations may not be fun, if you have them when you need to have them, yeah, it prevents a huge fight.
Oh, it's so much better.
It's so much better to just, like, rip the Band-Aid off and get it out of the way than to let it sit, like, boil over and then the pot explodes.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what part of a relationship you're in, like, what stage you're in, anything like that. Like, you got to talk about these things. Like, have those hard conversations early on. That way you can be on the same page and iron it out. Because once you get in a fight, you're not being productive at that point.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You're really not. Like, with Clayton and his finances, like, that's hard. But also, you have to remember, when you're in dental school, that's an investment on yourself. So when Clayton graduates, you know, if he graduates.
If we make it out of this place.
You know, whenever Clayton finishes the program, like, he's going to have a very successful, productive job and is going to be making more than enough money to where they're not going to have to worry about it quite as much. But in the meantime, finances can be a stress. But I think you have to look at the student loans and you have to look at the dental school experience as an investment. 100%. Like, you signed up to be here. You are getting a career opportunity out of it. But if it was easy, everyone would be doing it and dentists wouldn't get paid what they get paid.
Exactly. But like we've been saying, just talk about things. Honestly, that's important in every aspect of your life, not just in your relationships. Like, you just need to be able to communicate with people effectively, because it's some of mine and Emily's biggest disagreements. It's just because we were being unclear with each other and just weren't understanding each other fully. And that's just something we've had to work on.
Right. A book recommendation that I give everyone is by Dale Carnegie. It's How to Make Friends and Influence Others. Oh my God, this book was written so long ago, but I think it rings true today. Like, it talks specifically, like, when you're in an argument with someone, not how to win the argument, but how to keep both people calm and how to respectfully disagree. And it does talk about, like, strategies on, like, how to win the argument, but that's not the premise of the book. Like, the premise of the, like, one of the ways that you can win an argument is by disagreeing without fighting. Like, I would consider that a win. You know, like, sometimes you're just not going to see things the same way as others. And, you know, going back to finance, I feel like we should do a finance episode.
Yeah, we should.
We really should. But, you know, for example, some of our classmates recently got engaged, and that's great. That's perfect for them. But they're really trying to save money for the wedding, because weddings are expensive. And I don't know if, you know, whoever's listening to this, like, if your parents are going to be paying for all that, like, if you have any undergrad debt, things like that. But what I will say is, those trips to Cane's, things like trips to Starbucks, things like that, they add up very quickly. So you need to be careful with when you do those things, if you have a bigger goal in mind. And there are so many, like, I was actually reading the other day, like, we use the term, like, balancing a checkbook all the time. And I think we should be using that term not as, like, a literal balancing of the checkbook, because any bank with any checking account, any savings account, anything like that is going to automatically do that for you. Like, you do not have to sit down and do the math. But I think when we say balancing the checkbook, it's budgeting accordingly. So if you need $5,000 for your wedding ring or your engagement ring, and you are going to Cane's three times a week,
yeah,
that's like $30 a week.
Yep.
So that's $120 a month that you could be putting towards that ring that you're not, because you're going to Cane's.
Yep.
And you got to start thinking of it like that. And then once you start to understand those terms, then maybe you can understand, like, why your significant other is, like, getting mad at you for spending all that money if you guys have a bigger goal in mind.
Exactly. So talk about things, budget accordingly. What else in dating versus married life should we talk about here?
So I'm not going to curse here, but the expression is like, don't crap where you sleep.
Oh, yeah.
That is something I learned very early on. First day of them, -4 days.
-4 days.
Yeah, because we started on the 8th and that whole event took place on July 4th. There was a lot of fireworks.
Like, I think everyone told Marco, like, don't date one of your classmates. Like, that's...
And what did I do?
Not a good idea. Marco...
-4. Now, we hadn't even started school yet. We were at like a preschool party. Not like
preschool. We were at a preschool party.
A before school began party. she was my age.
Oh my gosh.
And we started dating. And it's like, listen, like sometimes it works out. I will say dental school relationships can work out if... they don't start right at the beginning. I've never really heard of two people meeting at the beginning of dental school and immediately start dating and then it works. You know, some people start dating at the end of their D1 year. Some people start dating like at the end of their D2 year. Like there's some D3s that started dating a couple months ago and they've been great together. But I think it allows you the opportunity to get to know those folks and then really see their true colors because you're going to have to be around them 24/7.
Exactly.
Like, you don't think you are, but like, you are.
And especially if you're in the same friend group, like...
yeah, like us.
And then what makes it awkward is, I mean, like Marco said, some of these relationships work and they end up being very successful and they make it long term and end up getting married. But in Marco's case, if y'all break up and y'all are in the same friend group, then it can make the friend group feel awkward too. But luckily, like Marco and this other individual, like it was fine because they were both very mature about it.
Yeah. We're actually like really good friends now.
Yes. And it was fine. And it never really felt that awkward in the friend group or anything, but it has
the potential to do that because you're still going to have to share notes with these people. Like you're still going to like see them in Snapchat groups. Like you're still going to be in group meets with them. Like you're still going to study with them, things like that. Like, you have to be around these folks, especially like I thought it was going to kind of go away when you get to clinic, but in clinic you see people even more. Yes. And then you're also like reaching out for advice from folks. Exactly. And trying to get their opinions on certain cases or like asking like what their diagnosis may be, things like that. So this is like going back to like those who suffer from like bad heartbreak. Like if you are one of those people that don't take breakups well and like you are a very, very, very emotional person, like I would just say straight up, like, it's not worth it. Do not date your classmate because if it doesn't work out, God forbid, like, your life's going to suck.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you are an incoming D1 or if you're a current D1 or whoever out there, you really need to think long and hard about it before you go into dating a classmate. Like, you need to think about the very long term and think about, okay, is this going to work out long term or is this just going to be a little fling and then it's going to be awkward after? Usually the best advice is don't do it. You know, just don't date the classmate. But I mean, if y'all have a very strong connection, I mean, it gets complicated because it could be great and it could be wonderful, but it could be terrible. Like, especially first year of dental school and you still have 4 years basically to make it through with this person. So
yeah,
think long and hard about it before you do that.
Exactly. But it can be fun and it does work out sometimes. So yeah, just be careful. But I'm trying to think, what other pieces of dating advice do I have here? Do not be afraid to let the other person pay and or split the bill. That is like, especially in the South, it's such a thing of like, no, like,
yeah,
you know, the guy is always just like, I got it. Like, don't worry. Cause it's like, it's seen as like rude or like you don't like the person, but like no, like you are a student, especially if the person that you're dating has a full-time job and exactly, whatnot, let them at least pay for their portion of dinner. Like there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with like, hell, like Lauren like paid the cover charge whenever we went to Rock and Bowl last night, and like, yeah, I mean, I bought her some drinks, it was fine, but like there was a nice gesture of her to like do that for me, and right, like she's also about to start a career, so like didn't feel that bad about
it. I take Emily out to eat all the time to nice dinners, and I use our credit card and act like I'm paying for it, but it's actually her money. But yeah, so don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, don't be afraid to get creative with like how you save the money, because especially like you don't want to be dropping a ton of money on like nice dinners if the person isn't serious. Like yeah. If it's like a second or third date, like don't be like, okay, like we're going out for steaks.
Yeah.
Like, no, like don't waste your money. Like don't, because I'm sorry, but a relationship is an investment in another person, and you have to be careful with how you invest your, not just your money, but your time,
yeah,
with that individual. Because like any time that you're hanging out with them, you're not studying or doing something else productive for your life.
Yeah.
So, which I'm not saying that you shouldn't date, because it's like definitely worth it from like an emotional aspect, but you know, just like don't go blunt, like blowing stacks that you don't have.
Right. I think we did good. So a recap, if you are coming into dental school in a serious relationship, long distance isn't the greatest, but honestly, it helped mine and Emily's relationship become stronger, because we were able to, you know, we didn't see each other all the time. So we were able just to work on our communication skills that way. Being engaged in dental school, that was fun as well, because that was still long term. Planning a wedding while in dental school, while in the middle of COVID, that will test a lot of people. Emily and I saw so many people that got engaged during COVID, planning a wedding, everything, and then they never made it to the actual wedding because they broke up. So it's tough. It's
so awkward seeing people on Facebook that are like posting engagement photos, yeah, and all that stuff, and then they just like immediately go quiet.
Yeah.
They go dark, and you're like, where did what they go? Happened? And then they've purged their profile. Yeah. Like all the pictures are gone.
Yep.
And then they're like dating someone new like a month or two later, and you're just like, what the hell happened? Or they're getting pregnant. Another friend of mine I saw on Facebook today, she's pregnant, and I'm like, girl, like y'all don't even live in the same state.
I know, it's crazy.
Like he had to move from a different state to be with her. And I'm like, good God, like, be careful. Use protection. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Like, okay, you want one piece of dating advice? Like, okay, you are going to be a doctor. Like, especially if you're a guy. Like, I'm sorry, but it's different from, like, a money-chasing perspective. But if you are a young man who is in dental school, use protection. Because women are going to see you as a big old dollar sign. Like, I literally had one girl that, like, it was going great. We went on, like, two dates. But then we started... like we went to a bar and we started drinking, and she just started bringing up, like asking me like how much I was going to be worth, and like, was she going to be able to be like a stay at home mom and things like that. And it's like, dude, like those sugar babies are out there, and you got to be careful. And like, I'm not saying that anyone would intentionally get pregnant to like keep you around, but I mean, be careful.
Yeah. It's a possibility. Talk about things. You know, just be sure to talk about things, especially finances and things like that. It'll be fun. It's been fun being married in dental school, because everybody gets to know your spouse, and it's, you don't have to worry about going on dates with strangers and making time for that, but you do have to worry about making time for your spouse. So it kind of takes a stress off of that part of it, because mm-hmm. not that dating is a stress, but you know what I mean? It's different.
Well, it's interesting, like, there are stresses on it. Like, for example, like, Lauren came with me to Rockin' Bowl last night.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, she had, like, two or three beers when we were there, but she was just like, I just don't want to get too drunk. Like, I'm meeting all your friends, and, like, yeah, I don't want to make a fool of myself. Like, versus, you know, when someone's married, it's like, well, that person more yeah than likely is not going anywhere, so you can act do whatever yeah you want. But, yeah, it is nice, though, like, when you're dating someone, like, being able to just bring them to the functions and whatnot with you, and like you're not having to awkwardly hit on people at the bar or things like that. But like, even if you are single, like you don't have to like constantly be pursuing someone. Like some of the most fun nights I've had were like I wasn't trying to talk to any of the girls at the bar. Like I was just enjoying my classmates and enjoying my friends and having a good time with them, and like not really worrying about who saw me or what happened, like, you know, just like dancing my heart out on the dance floor, like by myself.
Just living life.
You know, so like, don't be afraid to be single. Like, yeah, especially absolutely. If you have the opportunity to live by yourself for a little bit while you're in school. Like, I live by myself now and I love it. Like, you have to be comfortable with yourself before you can be with others. Like, I see it all the time. People that are just like bouncing from one relationship to the next. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're not comfortable being by themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you have to be comfortable being by yourself before you're going to be successful in a relationship. I mean, it's you still want to be an individual person even when you're married, even when you're in a relationship, you still want to be your own human being. You don't just want to be this conglomerate of married gush. Like, you still want to be two individual people.
Married gush.
married sloppy joes. So I think we did good. I do you have any more advice?
No, I think that's about it. Just be safe, both physically and emotionally, and, you know, be smart with your finances, be comfortable with who you are. And just because you're not in a relationship and all your friends are does not validate or invalidate your self-worth. Like, you are your own person. And I think, honestly, it's one of the coolest things when you see people who can be by themselves and are like super happy about it. Yep. Because you know that they're just going to be like the best partner for someone down the road. Also, a lot of people end up breaking up while they're in dental school. So like,
they do.
The grass is not always greener on the other side. I mean, people that have been in relationships for like very long periods of time have recently broken up, and like, that's okay. You know, it happens, but, you know, don't idolize other people's relationships because you don't know what's going on.
Yep, exactly. Instagram and Facebook can make it look like they're the happiest people in the world, and then behind closed doors, it's not the case. So
exactly. But I think that's about it.
Yeah. On my end, be sure advice. To reach out if y'all have any questions about being married in dental school or dating in dental school. We will be happy to answer those questions.
For sure. Well, anyways, this has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Boom.